This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Myles Garrett agreeing to stay in Cleveland thanks to a new contract. How are the two sides able to come back together here?
Well, Michael, you mentioned contracts, right? When you're talking about becoming the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history, then that is one reason for a player to change his mind.
This is Cleveland Sports Radio, 92.3 The Fan.
Odyssey, courtesy of the Rich Eisen Show. The Zach Gelb Show, ESPN as well. We have an off-season win, ladies and gentlemen.
So long.
Super Bowl! Super Browns! Yeah! Held it in all weekend. Well, all day yesterday, anyway.
It's a fun day, huh?
Should be. I did get some naysayers. We'll talk about them coming up in a bit. Felt good. Felt a surprise. Certainly a surprise. I got a text from somebody, and I ain't gonna tell you who. And it was regarding a coworker here who was on the air, by the way, who was on the air midday yesterday, and regarding a coworker here going, you're gonna read his tweets now that this is all done. And I was like cleaning out my truck, and I had the vacuum going. I couldn't hear a thing. And I go, what's going on? And I didn't realize that. And when I said all done, I go, oh my god, they did trade him. Oh my god, they must have traded him. And then I saw this because you scroll through real quick, and the Schefter thing popped up and it showed his picture, and I go, oh, they traded him. And I go, oh, it's an extension. Wow, okay, off we go.
What's weird, I want to know if this is the same for other people's phones and how they got the news, because I don't have the alerts of any of the usual suspects.
I should have set that alert. I didn't.
And the Odyssey stuff, for whatever reason, under a new email, I'm not getting the Odyssey alerts, which is why we tell people to make sure.
We'll get that figured out.
Yeah, get your stuff up to speed. Mine wasn't. So
AEL at Syracuse.com is just getting pounded with notifications.
So I got the jokes from buddies and text threads before I got the actual news. So I'm looking at my phone going, I've got four different people texting me jokes about Myles Garrett before I actually got the Myles Garrett extension stuff. What the hell happened?
I had my phone off. I set it down and I came back and there was like 60 something things. Plethora of reaction. A lot of it positive, some of it negative. I wish we could have saved a lot of negative reaction if he would have just came out and said, give me more money. Now, was he kind of flirting with the possibility of... Because if he would have given, you can say whatever you want to about the Browns. When it comes to players they think are going to be worth it, they'll pay whatever. They do not care. The cap stuff, I mean, I laugh in the cap's face for the most part. Players that they think are going to be worth it, because one player has been worth it, and then they have an historic contract of a player who's never been close to being worth it. But players they think are going to be worth it, they've never balked at throwing money at those players. And my first thought was, why didn't he just say it was about money? They had to pay him money. And I thought, well, Did he think he could have had both? And so that's why he said that. Because I guess you could always look back and go, I don't have any hurt feelings over this. I see the business side of it and go, well, as long as he comes out and he plays well, none of us are going to go back to this and be mad about it or anything like that. So there is some confliction here. It's not all sunshine, roses, everything's great. There, a lot of it is because I want something to be happy about this offseason, and I'm happy about this because it's like, all right, that's one thing we don't got to worry about. I think it almost solidifies that the Browns are taking, about 95% sure the Browns are taking a quarterback at two, but we can discuss that. Or one. Maybe they trade up. I'm not sure. But there were so many different thoughts to go, well, why didn't he come out and say it was about money? He could have just came out and said that. But if he comes out and he says it's about money, then it's just done. Then they'll pay him the contract and that's it. Maybe he thought, hey, worst comes to worst, they'll pay me a bunch of money. Best, and this had to be a thought, maybe the best case scenario, whoever picked him up was going to pay him a record-breaking deal. And it was, I could get traded to a contender here. Maybe he didn't want to really do it, but hey, doesn't look like it was going to be very competitive here over the next couple of years. And I still think that this, as of right now, I mean, you can't turn the ball over the way they did over the last couple of years. It's just, it's almost an impossibility of the sport. But I look at it and like, okay, they won three games last year. As of right now, I see them being a 4-6 win football team. That's still not good. That still gets people let go. That still gets a lot of people upset. With Myles Garrett, it's a 4-6 win football team. But, all right, you got Joel back. You got him back. Maybe they do got something up their sleeve that they're thinking about here. Or maybe one of those two quarterbacks at the top with a veteran QB is enough to make those guys say, you know what, the hell with it, let's go. Let's see what we can do here. Maybe there will be a professional effort given, and we'll see what we have. Because, I mean, last year was an out-and-out mess. And Joel Bitonio and those words to Jeremy Fowler stick out to me. But now you had Joel back literally the day after, and then this goes on with Miles. So there's a lot to digest here for a Browns fan.
I think the key, if we could know what was going on behind the scenes, I think the key fact would be what was the offer before, say, this weekend, say a month ago. I would love to know, and the dynamics of that offer, how much it truly evolved since this stuff happened, since Myles Garrett took it upon himself to go on the junket, go on the tour for a week down at the Super Bowl, and then to have some of the leaks that came out, especially the Pelissero leak, right as we're leaving Friday? Was it Friday the Pelissero stuff came out?
Yes, yeah.
Which was
Pelissero, and then Aditi had a tweet right after our show.
Yes. So that Jimmy Haslam was not going to do a meeting or whatever and basically sent it right back down to Andrew Berry. And that was going to be how this is going to be negotiated. I would love to know.
Can't go back and look it up now because Twitter's down right now.
I'd love to know how materially that offer changed, if it changed at all, and the guarantees. See, that's the key here, because Max Crosby signs and Miles' contract beats that by $5 million a year, not to mention the guarantees by like 30.
Yeah.
25, 30 million. Did the Browns not come close to that a month ago when they were talking to Clutch about his contract?
I can't
imagine.
Did
all of this get him 30 more million guaranteed?
I can't imagine. Because did it still, how could this argument between these two sides, how did that all of a sudden get you 30 extra million? If you're willing to dig in that deep,
well,
then it should have just been.
You're waiting for a signing, right? Yeah, like, so somebody else in Max Crosby.
So they didn't want to let him set the market is basically what it is. They were going to let someone else set their market for him? Maybe.
I mean, it does make sense that the Browns
Max
would want
Max is younger.
It does make sense, though, that the Browns would want to get a deal done before Max Crosby did. That's just how these things work. The later and later you go, the more the numbers get inflated. So you always try to get stuff done earlier rather than later. You know, the Bengals are getting burned by that.
216-474-0092. So how do you feel about Miles now? How do fans feel about Miles now? How do you feel about Miles now?
I'll be honest. I think 15 years ago me, 20 years ago me, would be very annoyed with Miles and then wait till he plays good when the season starts. And then when that happens, then I probably would have done an about face. I'm at this stage where we've just been around so, not just in Cleveland, just around athletes and the way that the money is ballooned and the way that we've seen it work both ways. We've seen teams show no loyalty to players. And
also, I think you have a sense of responsibility to your comments and what you say now. It's like, again, what we say to about a guy, I might have to look that guy in the face. You're going back to the whole Joe Thomas trading him thing. You're like, yeah, I told Ed you had to tell Joe that you wanted him traded. Like you told him to his face. So there's a sense of responsibility where it's like, if I sit here and say, bleep Miles, Miles drug us through the mud, Miles put down, which he didn't put us down. He didn't put down the fan base. Franchise, it might be a little bit different. But if I say all those things and then he goes out and he has four sacks in a football game and I celebrate it, those comments are used against
well,
you.
Well, I did it. I mean, that was so LeBron. That was LeBron to a T. Everybody in this city said
you can walk back those comments if you want to, and people have done it. We've all walked back a comment or two in time. But
the difference was the LeBron thing. It took 4 years. Yeah, 5 years. You had to wait 5 years to take some of it back.
But he's probably the best example. He's probably the best example why I just don't get really worked up over this stuff probably the way I used to. Once LeBron left and came back, then it's like, hey, anything could probably be put back together. Anything could be fixed. I'll tell you.
And Miles didn't end up missing a game.
Yeah, but I will tell you, I was a bit surprised, and it gives me a new zest to see what they're going to do. I still don't know how aggressive they can be.
But you're wondering
today
what they can pull out of a hat.
Yes.
What kind of wizardry there is. At least it gives all of us a little bit of hope, even though we know it's not a great situation.
Yeah.
We know that the real free agency, the nuts and bolts, already done. The legal tampering before that even gets started down in Indy at the Combine is where a lot of these deals already got formulated.
And what I felt even over the weekend, because I might have texted you on Friday. At least I felt it. Maybe I didn't, but I wanted to. I regretted, because we talked about how awkward it was going to be for Miles to sit out during OTAs and mini camp and camp and be ready to sit out during the season, as that reported said from Tom Pelissero that he was ready to miss games. And I go, man, if they take Shedeur Sanders and then they have to put Shedeur in front of the media. And it never came out of my mouth. And it was like, it happened at like 11:30 and I regret it and go, why didn't I say this 90 minutes ago? Where I'm like, we didn't even see Deion's going to have to give press conferences during fall camp. Deion's going to have things to say publicly, and people are going to ask him, Miles is holding out, your son plays for the Browns. He doesn't want to play with your son. And you know Deion's going to have a lot to say. I go, my God, this is going to get real ugly here, because Deion might shoot his mouth off. And then by Sunday,
it's all gone.
All gone.
With yesterday's news, it's all gone.
If he comes out, now we know this, if he comes out and he's missing in the first how many games, or all season, doesn't matter, and they're not very good, this is used against him. This is just used against him. That's the way it works. But if he goes out there and he has a Myles Garrett season, 14, 18 sacks, I don't know how they're going to do as far as the team is concerned. And I still, you want to talk about comments, I don't find him to be the heart, soul leader of the football team. I think he's tried here and there, but I don't think it's been given a full-on effort by him. I don't know if he's actually knew how to do that. I won't walk back those comments. But, yeah, it should make you feel better about the offseason, for crying out loud, because everything sucked leading up until when he got signed yesterday or extended yesterday. So it does make me feel better about that. As far as Miles, my opinion of Miles, frankly, has not changed in the last 48 hours. I respect him as a football player. I do think he's a likable person.
I don't think
he's a great leader.
Do you think you're in the majority or the minority?
I'd like to find out from the callers here. 216-474-0092. I'm going to get to you guys. I want to know from you, how do you feel about Miles now, this morning? He's signed an extension. He's here for a while. $123 million guaranteed. A lot of money. And a no-trade clause in this one, which is going to be key moving for the future. 216-474-0092.
Ken Lima, Miles Garrett Steen. It's technically a victory Monday. Super Bowl! Super Brown!
Yeah! That's the Coming In Hotline. Use it. Get the free Odyssey app. It's right next to the Listen Live button. You'll see a microphone. Click that microphone. Get it in, get it out about 30 seconds. It's fantastic. You're going to love it. Use that Coming In Hotline. Had two of those versions, and you can get yours in on the absolutely positively free Odyssey app.
Favorite the station. Then you get updates, Anthony. And they tell you when they sign free agents today. That's how I found out.
Yes.
My wife actually told me. We were in the car. They need I had to pull over the car.
He pulled over to read the updates.
Yes.
How you think about that? What do you think about that, buddy boy? Also remember, NFL free agency tampering, quote unquote, the tampering period starts today at noon. Make sure you keep it here on the Fan all day long, all the latest updates. Because now I think a lot of people in West are all about this coming up at 8:02. Aditi Kickabwala at 7:22 this morning. Whether or not the Browns are going to be very aggressive in free agency. They always seem to try to be. I don't know what they have now left over. Daryl will give us all the skinny, everything else, but
they'll
be as aggressive as they can, I bet.
I know, Owen, you were looking at me as I'm going with my fingers.
You were counting on your fingers. Don't say I did the math. You're counting
the
on
The last time we were happy as Browns fans, was it November 21st?
Yes.
Steelers win?
The snow game.
Snow game.
Yep. That was the last time we were happy as Browns fans.
I mean, maybe you were happy with some of Jerry Jeudy on December 2nd against Denver, but...
I mean, no, because they lost.
But they lost. So you got to go almost 4 months since we have had something to enjoy as Browns fans. That is a long-ass time.
Put that out there for everybody. Yeah. That is that's sobering. 216-474-0092. So how do you feel about Miles now? I feel the same way I felt about Miles 3 weeks ago. Some people are upset. They go, he didn't have to do this. No, he didn't. I don't know. I guess he could have just said it was about the money. But I think maybe he saw himself an opportunity to, if they are going in a different direction, wherever I'm going to go is going to pay me, and I'm going to get money no matter what, so I might as well give them the opportunity to trade me.
The only thing, and we're going to get to the phones right here. The only thing I can think, and it's tough to know how to give benefit of the doubt to the Browns or Miles when this thing instantly became ugly, is what about an offer was there that Miles didn't like? Or was it the same all throughout?
Because
if it was the same all throughout, then Miles would look really bad.
Maybe it was no trade. Maybe it was guaranteed.
Yeah. Now, is it worth it to go through all this for $30 million more guaranteed? I'm not going to be naive here.
Yes, it probably is. Yeah.
Yes, it probably is.
But don't you think they would have guaranteed him?
Is it worth angering Carl in Brunswick and Tim in Parma?
I could see the no trade clause being a part of it. Because, I shouldn't say this now because I don't want to poo-poo anybody's good time. I mean, they could win 5 games and we could be back in this spot next year. Like, okay, should we move on from? Can we get one first-round pick now? Like, you could do that the whole time, and then that takes away the power that you have, because there were plenty of people saying, well, just trade them to whoever will offer them. So, okay, the Jets are a crazy football team. Like, the Jets and Urban Reuben, I'm just using them as an example of a crazy football team. The Jets are a crazy football team. Maybe they'd offer him. Well, he doesn't want to go to the Jets. He would want to go to a contender. And I always felt that it would filter through to a natural contender. So one of the top teams of the NFL would be only one of the top teams to do it, but you really wouldn't want to do it because what's a first-round pick when it's the 28th, 29th, 30th pick, wherever in there? So you have your good and your bad. Now with a no-trade clause, but Jacksonville, the Jets, the Giants, one of the crazy teams could say, hey, we were willing to give this, and Miles could go, no. I'm going to go to Washington, Detroit, he could always do that. Maybe that was the sticking point. Because I think if it comes to money, they've never not ponied up money. They've always been willing to pay, at least with this ownership, they've always been willing to pick good and bad. They've always been willing to give the money. 216-474-0092. Martin Willard, you're first up on the Fan. Martin, go ahead.
I was going to say that Miles, I mean, he's going to have a rough time when he doesn't show up for games at times, especially towards the end of the season. I mean, I've been a season ticket holder for about 7 years now, and the fans get pretty rough down there.
I think it's always been that way. I think it's always been. I think he's dealt with that his entire career, though. Don't you? I don't think there's been any time there's been a question of what's going on in the fourth quarter or something. I think he's always dealt with that. I mean, good God, again, I've told the stories. A couple years ago, you know.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lyman and I had an argument with another show about whether or not Miles loves football. We had to call one day. We had to cold call a bunch of people from outside Cleveland, NFL analysts, to ask whether or not Miles Garrett was elite. I think that's kind of old hat for him.
Yeah, it'll be rough for him. I mean,
well, why? Okay, you focused on that.
In the intros, when he comes out, he gets the loudest cheers. You know, it's.
You focused on that end of the year. What if? But just in the interim, right now. I mean, what was your thought yesterday when you heard the news?
Obviously, I was glad, but us as an organization, we still have to. Everybody's gonna bite that big turd sandwich. Everybody's gonna take a bite of it. You know, we're still in the same situation.
Well, Martin, yeah, thank you I don't think it's a sandwich that you have to eat when it's. Still a great football player. I just don't know how much better it's going to make you.
When I take a step back and you saw a bunch of signings yesterday, and the Steelers will certainly at some point get to that, because had this not have happened, we probably would have been talking, was that a good move for them? They still don't have a quarterback, but they went and go get DK Metcalf and trade a second rounder for him. I tried yesterday. I honestly did. I said, you know, are we a different team now? Did something happen? Or are we the same last time we saw him, 3-14, off the rails, and everything that led to Miles, you know, just compounding the problem with his declaration?
I don't think they're as bad as 3-14. I just don't think they're as good as they were 2 years ago. I think they're somewhere, again, the amount of turnovers, the dissension that you had within that offense, just hearing this stuff, it's like, all right, even if you get back to basics, you're still probably a 500, sub-500 team, unless that quarterback can take you to a different level. Well, the quarterbacks that they have right now are not going to take them to any sort of a different level. And the different level I'm asking for, honestly, is 9, 10, 11 wins somewhere in there, which is a lot. It's absolutely a lot, I'll grant everybody. But that's what it's there to save everybody's jobs. Because if they go out and they win 9 games and they don't make the postseason, all right, well, you kept them through 3 wins. Are you not going to keep them through 9? After you brought back Miles, and 9 wins, I don't remember exactly how Atlanta finished. You finish with 9 wins, and Shedeur Sanders plays like Michael Penix Jr. in the second half of the season. I think you're fine. I think a lot of people are happy. Or not happy, optimistic. optimistic for their future. John and Parma, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, I just wanted to say, you know, Myles Garrett is probably the best defensive player we've had in our history. There's probably no argument in that.
Yes.
My issue is that he said multiple times, you know, it's not about the money. I want to go somewhere and win a Super Bowl. Well, I guess when you flash that many dollars in front of him, I guess it was about the money. And looking at the schedule, if the Browns win 5 games next year, I think they're going to be lucky. No matter if they break, if they draft a quarterback, which I think both of them are going to end up being a bust, or if they bring in somebody, I just think with the way the schedule lies, they're going to have a rough season next year and only win 5-6 games.
Well, the schedule, I mean, it's not college football. I know what you're saying, John. I mean, they're all tough games, and that's something I say to everybody. I think, and thank you for the call. I think that they are, as of right now, again, a 4-6 win football team. We'll see what they do at the quarterback position. I think that'll change a lot this week about how I feel if they could get the 7 wins, depending on who they bring in. And then we'll find out what they do in the draft. I think this almost guarantees they're taking a quarterback 1 or 2, and let me underline 1 or 2, in the draft coming up. I think that when you look at the history of the Browns with Myles Garrett on the team, I can't go and say that this signing is just going to make them a playoff team. So what's in it for the Browns fan? Guys, and everybody likes to do the whole thing. Like, yeah, Mary Kay was right. She said it was a money play. Terry Pluto said it was a money play. But I also think that there were plenty of people out there who might have thought contrary to thinking, well, this might be in everybody's best interest. There could have been a point where when Jimmy said he wasn't going to meet with him on Saturday, when it was reported that Jimmy wasn't going to meet, Jimmy didn't say anything. When it was reported that Jimmy wasn't going to meet with Miles on Friday, it could have been a point, what's said is said. Because I think what a lot of people thought of, like our buddy Brad Ward would always tweet at the show, and like, guys, the cap hit is monstrumental. They can't move him. And I thought, he's the only guy, and you're right, but if you were trading him, you don't care about dead cap space anymore. You're taking the picks. You're beginning the rebuild. And I think that they were thinking, guys, I can't trade you. I can't, like, Nicole Lynn, I can't trade him. We're not going to trade him. He could sit out. I can't do it. It's prohibitive against the cap. We're up against it. I'm writing my own pink slip if I trade you. It's that simple. So you can stay and take money, or I can trade you and just have my own job, which doesn't sound very good to a fan that's never going to be traded or fired because they're fans and they're going to be GMs forever. But that's the situation that they're in. And hell, I think that that's probably the situation where Jimmy Haslam was in. I kept these guys. Miles is one of the best chances to keep these guys employed for 2026. Figure out a way to make it work with Miles. All right, here's more money. So I think to a certain degree, was anybody really wrong? I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, we were all using Miles' words. Like to anybody texting you, like, what about what so-and-so said? What about this media person and what they said? Well, in the end, we're all trying to decipher what Miles is saying. And yeah. Miles was not just saying it in a leak. He said it on a bunch of interviews with a bunch of different big-time media personalities. That was the message that he wanted to convey. And he was willing to do it. If he's willing to do it, then you got to use Miles' words either for him or against him. The question here is, if originally he said it was not just about the money, it was about winning, and then he just comes and takes the money. If you were mad at him before, you could be happy now, right? But if you were kind of criticizing him, you know, how do you flip-flop?
If you were already a critical person of Myles Garrett, you have even more to be critical of with Miles. Because it's never going to be about money for fans. And if you have a guy who people have argued that he doesn't love the game, including hosts on this station, not this show, you have people who say he's overrated, which we've argued that day in and day out with Pittsburgh fans. You have people who said that he disappears in big games. You have people who have been critical of him for the Steelers incident in 2019. I mean, those are 4 things right off the tippy top, right there for everybody. Those people have even more in their arsenal today. Because I guarantee there are the anti-Miles folks out there, and they're saying, yeah, just you wait. And in mid-September, when he has 1 sack and they are 0-3, they're going to be calling into the Fan. Yep, they're going to let us have it. And those are these are the balances of what you deal with.
Chummy likey.
I'm liking it.
I like it a lot.
No like. No like.
He doesn't like you.
I don't like you either.
You're tacky and I hate you.
Like or no like. Like or no like.
But I definitely knew what I liked, and I definitely knew what I didn't like.
All right, we led the show with all the Miles news, and there's plenty more where that came from. However, we got to give some love to the Wine and Gold.
I'm alive.
Kenny, they...
It sounded like Michael there for a second. I was getting excited.
They went into Milwaukee.
D-Wade going to put it on the deck.
It was a thing of beauty for the most part last night. For the most part. As they stormed out on the road, and again, they controlled that game throughout against the Bucks. Yeah, there's some hairy moments. End of the third, into the early fourth. But again, they just kept their distance. And at no point were you like, man, the Cavs are going to lose this game as they win 112 to 100. And I don't know where to start to give it up to.
Lima likes.
Max Strus. Max Strus, 5 of 9 from 3. He was electric. He had 17 points. I was telling Kenny, he came in, shot out of a cannon from half court to do a tip-in. Where if you lose track of Max Strus, like teams like Milwaukee that don't pay attention.
He'll be a problem for you.
They just lose sight of guys. And you just see Doc Rivers looking around going,
what a box score, though.
I'll take the money, I guess.
You gotta look at the box score. It's unbelievable, the depth. It's like 40 guys on the Cleveland Cavaliers in their history scored in that game last night.
Yeah. Well, and think about it. You go on the road against a team that you might very well play in the second round of the playoffs. Your starting backcourt goes 8 of 28. For just 28 points. That's terrible. You're going to lose games, right, against good teams? No. I mean, Bucks are 36 to 27, and it was kind of an ass-kicking.
Lamont Murray had 3 points last night.
Yeah, Isaac Okoro came off the bench, hit a three. You just keep looking around going, who's that? Oh, yeah, Javonte Green. Yeah, he hits a three. Dean Wade hits three threes. Basically, you suffocated them when it came to their bench. When they went to the bench... Game was over. It just shows you the luxury of depth. Like, if they played Milwaukee in a series to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, are you maybe giving the Bucks one game at home?
Wow.
Maybe?
It's still a little bit... That seems still a little bit disrespectful.
Probably, but it's just... It literally is just Giannis out there, dribble handoff, dribble handoff, dribble handoff. Oh, I guess I'll go to the basket now. 2 points, we come down... 8 beautiful passes, wide open 3.
Will Giannis just play 34 minutes again during the playoffs?
No, that's the thing. I mean, it's just going to be the Giannis show, but okay, he doesn't shoot the 3. So, okay, you might say there's going to be some Cavs regression from 3 in the playoffs, although I don't know if there's any real evidence of that. Like, why can't the Cavs continue to shoot the 3 well? I mean, last night they made 19.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were bench 3s, so you didn't even get it. Out of Darius continues to slump. So I will say,
Lima no like.
It is now more than just a small sample with Darius.
What's funny? What's going on here? You're not laughing about something. I mean, something funny is going on.
Something does seem off. And it's not just, you know, it was maybe post All-Star. But if you go back to the start of February, his numbers have plummeted across the board. He's averaging 17 points a game on... like 38% from the field and from 3. It is really bad. So I don't know. What are you seeing out there? Because this was like the most confident player in the league. He was the most clutch player in the league.
The only thing
I can wonder.
We're
talking all NBA.
Is he got banged up a couple weeks ago. Is he playing with an injury?
The hip thing.
Because now that they're in the playoffs, it's like, well, can we take a couple days off? Can we load manage? I know you're not legally allowed to say that anymore, but you get that. Rest. Can't we rest? Can't rest him? Manage the load, man. Yeah. Let's go.
You know, that's what you do have. You do have time. That is the one luxury of this team. It's not like you're playing for any seeding. The only thing you could say is, do you care about home court advantage in the NBA Finals? Like, yeah, I think everybody's like, well, yeah, I'd like that. But is it worth, you know, this situation right now where it seems like Darius needs to get in the right headspace? Because he needs to play a lot. But for you to be Boston, I think you can win 4. Are they up to 14 in a row?
Correct.
You can win 14 in a row, apparently, with Darius slumping. I didn't know you could, but you're kind of proving
they're
that.
54 and 10 overall, everybody.
it's 10.
Lamino like.
I am bummed that LeBron got injured. LeBron, if you didn't know, on Saturday night against Boston, you know, their big game, they lose, and he limps off the floor, and then he has the groin injury. So, you know, they had built themselves, they had gone all the way up to the 2 seed in the Western Conference, and I started to really, we were asking while you were out, I asked everybody, have you been able to process what a LeBron back in Cleveland series could be? And this groin thing, you know, at 40 years old.
He's only out one, like 2 weeks. All they need to do is make the playoffs, and they'll make the playoffs. So I don't think it's that.
He's been a top five NBA player the last two and a half months. I mean, that's stupid.
So if he's out, I feel he'll find a way to be fine for the post, or at least good to go for the postseason as good as he can. All they need to do is make the playoffs. If they make the playoffs, and they will, they are a exceedingly dangerous basketball team. Even though, boy, did you get a chance to watch Oklahoma City yesterday afternoon?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Holy potato salad! And, what a beating!
And SGA SGA is distancing himself from everybody else as the MVP.
I was like, man, we're getting all worked up about the Lakers. I wrote it down. I go, we're getting all worked up about the Lakers, man. Whoa. Oklahoma City, it's not the matchup that ESPN's NBA desk wants to see, but oh my goodness gracious, they were amazing yesterday.
We can't care about that, right? Because people would say that about the Cavs. So I guess we can't care about that.
Yeah.
An OKC Cavs finals would be very, very interesting. It also probably wouldn't do well ratings-wise.
But it would do well here, and that's what matters.
Yes.
Lima likes.
Give it up to former Buckeye and legend Eddie George.
He's an official enemy now.
Yes. Oh, is he at BG?
Well, you know, I'm an Akron guy, so...
They're not going to steal any of your Michigan players.
No, don't worry. Don't even start that. Eddie is, can I just say, Eddie's old Ken. Eddie's a favorite old Ken. He is I talk about him like I know him, because some of my greatest memories as a Buckeye fan are around Eddie George. I'm a big fan of him. I'm interested to see how this goes. I want it to go well. Not well against Akron, but I want it to go well. I'm going to be paying very close attention to this deal with him and going to BG.
Yeah. Boy, interesting hire. He comes from, Tennessee State.
Yes.
And last year, it goes 9-4. So he had been at Tennessee State for 4 years. Seems like, didn't we have him on the air when he was going on Broadway?
Yes.
Yeah. And we were like, oh, we wonder what the next stage, what the next act of Eddie George's career can do anything. We took the Tennessee State job and we were like, boy, that's interesting. And then, kind of quietly, he had been there 4 years. Then last year, they win their conference, the OVC, the Ohio Valley Conference. They win it, and he goes 9-4. So he's 2 games above 500 as a coach. But, you know,
that's
they lose.
That's a build, man.
Yeah.
That's a build.
And they lost Scotty Loeffler to the NFL. It was kind of a surprising move. So now they're looking for somebody. They want a splash. And Eddie George.
I was
going through their staff. I was wondering if there were going to be a lot of familiar names. Really, just Richard McNutt was on his staff at Tennessee State. Jeff Fisher was an analyst. You wonder what his staff's going to look like at BG.
Does it look anywhere near as good as Bill Belichick's staff at UNC?
Okay.
That is a who's who of hilarity.
We didn't have time to... We wanted to carve out some time last week to get to that. We never were able to. It is awesome. I mean, obviously, Freddie Kitchens is there. Jamie Collins is there.
Not that it's...
A Lombardi kid is there.
I'm not saying
Belichick has 2 kids there.
Yeah, I don't want to say it's like a bad... Like, these guys are all bad coaches. That sounded bad. It's just like a who's who of names you've heard in Belichickian history. And you just laugh. You just chuckle like, oh, my God, it's everybody. Matt Lombardi, who is Mike Lombardi's son. Natron Means.
Yes, Natron
Bob
Means.
Bob Diaco is in there. Jamie Collins, like you said. Mike Prefer is their special teams coordinator. We're moving on from that one.
Lima Likes.
And finally, God, there were like 100 people, I think, right before dinner last night. I had the same idea I did. Go up to the playground. It was getting nice out. It's going to be nice all week. So we were going to go to the library, and I'm looking and going, why would I subject my daughter to the library? There's kids having fun outside. So we go outside, and I see this older gentleman, gray-haired gentleman, walking around. And I'm like, that can't be. That looks like a former NFL coach I know. And then I'm leaving. I didn't say anything. I'm leaving, and I see the guy is in the car, and I look at the license plate, and it says, Virginia is for lovers. Folks, long-time listener of the show.
Did you say something to him?
Somebody who's appeared on the show on multiple occasions.
Did you go up to him?
Al Saunders, hanging out. We ended up talking, and my daughter was furious. The conversation with Al. I mean, well, you know, we're both long-winded gentlemen. Before you know it, I mean, my daughter is screaming, and me and Al are just looking at each other like, we're talking ball. We had Myles Garrett
news
to talk.
Your daughter needs to understand and respect greatness when she's around
it. This man has been an NFL coach. What are you doing? And I basically silenced her, told her there'd be treats when we got home. She's like a dog now. I have to say, well, there'll be treats to get her out of that. But Al Saunders hanging out with Dave's there with his grandchildren. It was awesome to see.
That's great.
Everything was a win yesterday. Cavs won. Browns, it's a victory. It's a March victory. And I got to see an NFL head coach.
That's excellent.
That's it for Lima Likes.
Outstanding weekend for you.
He was so nice. He said, I can't wait to hear you tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Outstanding Lima Likes for you.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.